Welcome to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Bob Dancer is America's premier video poker writer and teacher. He's written 10 books, including Video Poker for the Intelligent Beginner and the best-selling Million Dollar Video Poker. He helped develop the computer software Video Poker for Winners, and in 2004, he was inducted into the Video Poker Hall of Fame. Richard Munchkin has been a professional Advantage player for over 30 years and is in the Blackjack Hall of Fame. His book, Gambling Wizards, Conversations with the World's Greatest Gamblers, is a testament to the many ways you can succeed at gambling. The goal of the show is that you'll be a more knowledgeable gambler tomorrow than you were yesterday. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
For Munch tonight.
And our guest tonight is former co-host and frequent visitor Michael Shackelford. Shaq and I will be discussing the new games we saw at this year's G2E, which is shorthand for Global Gaming Expo, which concluded today in Las Vegas and is the gambling industry's biggest trade show of the year. I'll be talking mostly about the new video poker games, and Michael will be talking mostly about the new table games, and Munchkin will be putting in his 2 cents worth when he sees it fit. Michael Shackelford, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks. Nice to be back.
Before we get into talking about G2E, there was a couple interesting things in the poker world. In the World Series of Poker, every year the tournament is played down to 9 players who then take a 4-month break and finish the event over 2 days in early November. These players are called the November 9. This year, the November 9 member in second place, Amir Leabat, is selling off 50% of his action at the final table, subtracting off the $700,000 he's already earned for ninth place. Now, if he ends up in ninth place, which is the worst he could do, his backers lose everything they've invested. If he wins the whole thing, the investors essentially triple their money. I sent an article about this to both Shaq and Munchkin in order to talk about it tonight, and Shaq did some analysis. Mike, is this a good investment?
According to my math, it is. I forgot to bring my notes, but I believe I concluded it to have about a 17% advantage.
That's huge. That seems higher than. It seems like he underpriced it. If the public has a 17% advantage on it.
Yeah. Unless there's something I misunderstand about the prize structure of the World Series of Poker. That was what my math showed, and I assumed that every player had an equal skill level and their chances of winning were proportional to their stack.
And
are you familiar with this ICM that they use to calculate?
I'm sorry, I had my headphones off, Munch. What did you say?
I said, are you familiar with this ICM that they used to calculate they thought the right price was?
I am not. Maybe you can explain it.
No chance. It's a mathematical model for when you have chip sizes of various chip stacks of various sizes as to how much it's worth. And apparently that's the fairly common model used for splitting up stacks when you're at a final table.
Bob, what does the ICM stand for?
I think it's independent chip model. And
okay.
So you can look it up on Wikipedia. But and so Leavat was posting that he thought it was a good investment because he felt his skill level was higher than average at the table. Now, whether or not that's true, I don't know. I would think every player there thinks his skill level is higher than average. It's probably a precondition to being at the table. But so I don't know whether or not he actually does have a skill level advantage. But he used to teach, and he has several million in winnings. And it isn't a bad bet. It's certainly putting in it's a $10,000 minimum. So you can, if you go, you can bet on the bald guy. He has a shaved head, or I don't know how much he shaved and how much just doesn't grow there anymore. So he's easy to pick out in any picture of the November 9.
seems surprising to me that if he is the most experienced and he has
he's definitely not the most experienced.
Second biggest chip stack.
I mean, J.C. Tran, you know, in first place is by far the most successful player there.
Yeah, but still, with $7 million in tournament winnings, you know, I'm surprised that he wants this hedge. You know, I mean, I guess he's locking in, you know, $1.5 million or whatever. But I don't know. I guess some people are more risk averse than others.
Well, I normally say to not hedge your bets. That's one of my 10 commandments of gambling. But when life-changing amounts of money are involved, I think an exception is warranted. And if he's never come into this much money before, then I wouldn't blame him for...
He's got $7 million in tournament winnings, so
okay.
I would think he would have saved some of it.
Well,
you know,
Munch, you can probably speak to this, but it's my understanding that poker players are always trading shares of themselves, and just because he won $7 million doesn't mean that he has $7 million in a bank account.
Sure.
All right, interesting. So, also about poker, every year they have a Hall of Fame. The Hall of Fame's been going on since 1979, and they've put out 10 nominations. Two or three members of these 10 will be voted in to the Hall of Fame, and the ones who vote are the 19 living Hall of Fame members and the 18 selected media members. Somehow they left my name off the selected media member list. I suspect they left Shaq's and Munchkin's name off that list too. Now, nominees include, alphabetically, Chris Bjorn, Umberto Brenes, David Chu, Thor Hansen, Jennifer Harmon, Mike Matisau, Tom McAvoy, Carlos Mortensen, Scotty Wynn, and Huck Seed. Munch, how do you handicap this field?
Boy, I think I'll probably get myself in trouble here, but as many of our listeners may know, I do not have a real high opinion of a lot of poker players, and there are some of the players on that list that, you know, not only do I think they may not be that great of poker players, but they're certainly horrible human beings. So,
you're going to pass on
handicap that. I think I should stay out of it.
Yes, Scotty Wynn probably would be a favorite, although a couple of years ago he had a drunken meltdown in a very public place in a tournament and apologize profusely afterwards, but it was
actually if I had to vote, I would vote for either Huck Seed or Jennifer Harmon.
Okay, I Jennifer would be on my list. I don't know about Huck Seed is somebody I'd love to get on the show. He's had so many interesting prop bets.
I've been chasing him for 10 years. I tried to get him for my book. He's been dodging me, but Huck, I will get to you eventually.
Uh-huh. I'm sure he's listening tonight. Good. All right. Now, before we get to G2E, there was a typo on my bonus poker quick quad strategy sheet that I handed out in class this last Tuesday. I had a 4-card straight flush with 0 insides listed twice. Somebody asked me to go home, figure out the correct answer, and announce it over tonight's broadcast. The correct answer is da-da-da, it doesn't matter. Both positions are okay. Whether you have it the end of Rule 6 or the beginning of Rule 8 doesn't matter, because nothing in Rule 7 can be in the same 5-card combination as a 4-card straight flush with 0 insides. So I apologize for screwing it up. Next time I teach the class, it'll be in instruction 8 and not at the end of instruction 6. But cross out either one of them and you'll do fine. All right. Let's look ahead. Let's look at G2E. We'll start with the machine games and then go on to the table games. When you first play a game in a casino, looking at pay schedules is the most important thing. How much you get for the full house, how much you get for the flush. At gaming shows, pay schedules are the least important thing. Any game shown likely comes in a 95% version, a 96% version, a 97% version, blah, 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 up to maybe even one over 100%. If a slot director wants the game in his casino, he picks the pay schedule that is most appropriate for his casino. And even in the same casino, the same slot director might pick a slighter pay schedule for nickels than he would for, say, quarters. So at the show, they put them in the loosest possible pay schedules so that they're more fun and people win more. They go, yeah, this would be fun to have in our casino. But when they get out in the field, it could be anything. Now, also, a lot of the games have bonus rounds of some sort. And they could be triggered by some kind of a final hand or some kind of a dealt hand. And so that you don't have to wait for all these, say, flush or higher dealt hand, they have gaffes. So you can either push the change button and or maybe touch the upper left part of the screen, and it'll give you a choice of what hand you want. You want to be dealt four fours next time? Good. You push this button right here, and you get four fours. And then it triggers the bonus round, and you can see what that's all like. So that's fine to see how the bonus hand works, but it isn't really, you don't really get a good experience in a show of how it would be like to play the game for hours and hours and hours and how frequently the bonus round happens. So now, if you're going to look at new video poker games, you got to start with IGT. IGT has something like 90% of the video poker market. And at the show, they had a higher percentage of that of the new games. VideoPoker.com has a large percentage of those. It used to be a monopoly on the new games for IGT. That's no longer the case. There are more non-VideoPoker.com games at IGT than there are VideoPoker.com games. But VideoPoker.com games still had a lot. One game that might make it is called Tap House. Tap House as in a place you go drink beer. And it's thematically related to drinking beer in a bar. You can choose as your bartender one of two chesty women or Bernie. Now, Bernie is a cartoonish version of Ernie Moody, who is the inventor of Triple Play and the owner of VideoPoker.com. Now, Ernie's quite wealthy. Triple Play has done very well. So if you ever want to be Ernie, then you pick Bernie. So now, this is a five-play game. You pay 6 coins per line, and you get it all back in the bonus round. The bonus round is triggered by dealt trips or higher. That comes around approximately every 35 hands or so. When you're dealt a trigger hand, you get one free five-play hand. And you get random multipliers averaging around 7x for each line. One thing I liked about the game is you don't need to learn a special strategy. All the bonuses come on dealt hands, so if you know how to play, like if it's on 9-6 jacks, Tap House will be the same as 9-6 jacks regular. Now, this is definitely not the case for another game by VideoPoker.com called Crazy Time Pay Poker. This is a 10 coins per line game, and you receive approximately 10 different combinations of multipliers after you hit the deal button. After you hit the deal button. Now, maybe all four of a kinds get multipliers. Maybe this time it's aces and the royal only. Or maybe it's every hand greater than a straight flush and less than a quad. Or maybe it's some other combinations. There's 10 different multiplier combinations. And they can be 2x, 3x, 4x, 5x. These definitely affect the strategy. So if you're going to play this game, you have to learn 10 unique strategies for every pay schedule on this game. And these strategies are not useful for any other video poker game. So this is probably way too much work for players who want to play the game intelligently. For recreational players, maybe. But for me personally, I'm going to pass on this game. A third new game by VideoPoker.com is called Stack'em Bonus Poker. This is a game that looks like five play, where you play the bottom hand and all five, you get five lines. And so you end up with a 5x5 matrix of cards. For the cards you did not hold, the columns, you get paid for the columns. If you get pairs in the columns or three of a kinds in the columns or full house in the columns, you get paid for it. Now, the top line is five of a kind on, and I think it's about 1.4 million against you that on any particular column, you get five of a kind. Now, that's about seven times as hard as it is to get a dealt royal flush, although you might have more chances because you could have conceivably five chances in one game rather than only one chance to get a dealt royal. And it's paid 4,000 coins. So, and there's random multipliers involved. It seems to me like you're going to use pretty basic strategy. I'm not sure. But if there's a choice between using, say, two or three, holding two or three cards with a very comparable EV, for example, with an unsuited king, queen, jack, you probably should hold just this unsuited queen, jack, rather than king, queen, jack, simply because the extra chance on the vertical column is makes it worth your while. This game increases the luck factor because half of the pay is on the columns, which is totally luck. The now, as personally as a skilled player, I'm not interested in games that increase the luck, but unskilled players might be. They get the full value of the luck factor. Good. All right. Now, another game from VideoPoker.com. It's not brand new, but I got a new take on it, and it's called Multi-Streak. This is a triple play game where you pay 10 coins per line to activate the bonus feature. And when you're dealt a paying combination, the next three hands receive a multiplier up to 10x. If you get several paying combinations in a row, the multipliers do go up to 10x. First of all, players sometimes leave multipliers on the machine, which creates cherry-picking opportunities for those who go around searching for those. Second, if you're inclined to do this, if you know the next two or three hands are going to get 10x multiplier, this might be a good time for your slot club card to fall out. On most player tracking systems, this would overstate your losses or understate your wins. Please note, while I'm mentioning card pulling, I'm not recommending it. I used to do this years ago. First of all, it worked better. And secondly, I wasn't famous years ago. At this stage of my playing career, I never do it. I'm assuming because card pulling looks suspicious. I'm assuming I'm always on camera when I'm in a casino. Now, obviously, that's not true. But I don't know when it is true. And so I try to never do anything in a casino that would going to be looking suspicious. Good. Michael, did you ever pull your card?
No, I think that card pulling is a mild form of cheating, much like rat-holing chips, so I disapprove of it.
Wow, you think rat-holing chips is a mild form of cheating?
It depends on the reason you're doing it, but if you're doing it, say, for a loss rebate program, then yeah, absolutely, I would think that.
There goes your career, Munch. All right. It sounds like, okay, good. All right. Now, these are the games from our sponsor, VideoPoker.com. Now I'm going to give the floor to Mike for a bit to talk about some table games. And in another 10 or 15 minutes, I'm going to demand the table, but demand the floor back from you to talk about a few other things.
Okay.
So what'd you see, Michael?
Okay, there's a lot of games to talk about. One comment I want to make about video poker games when they release new product, if it's something that has a really complicated strategy, whether to learn or to quantify, like with guaranteed play or moving on up, I find it annoying when casinos throw it out there at a 95% return, you know, because it's so obvious the players are just going to get butchered at it because making terrible strategy decisions because nobody knows the strategy. So, you know, if I ran a casino, I would put out a new video poker product with a unknown strategy at a very high return. So let's talk about table games. This year, the two main things I noticed were, one, there was a lot of cannibalizing of successful games by the various big gaming companies. If one game was successful, the other companies were looking to come out with a very similar product to it. And the second thing is the total lack of independent game inventors out there. I did not notice a single person with just his own booth trying to hawk his game. And it used to be that there would be about 10 of them at any given show. And I wonder if it's maybe because I'm preaching all the time about just how tough of a business it is, and what a big long shot.
So inventors now try to get Shuffle Master or somebody else to take over their game.
Yes, that's the usual course of business, is they take it to Shuffle Master and Galaxy and whoever, and hope they will like it and enter into a profit-sharing agreement with them, as I did with my own Mulligan Poker. This year there was a new company on the scene, IGSA, which stands for the International Gaming Support of America. It's mainly a table game company. This was the first year I saw them, although I knew some of the people there from previous companies that have failed. The main game that I noticed that I had an interest in is Double Ball Roulette. This is just like regular roulette, but they throw two balls into the wheel. And if you bet on red, for example, both balls must land in a red number for you to win. But of course, it pays more. It pays 3-1. And all the pays are, commensurate with the probability of winning. They tell me that this is going to go into the Tropicana sometime in October.
The Tropicana in Vegas.
Yep. Yep, so I will...
How does this physically work? How does the dealer deal it?
There is a jet that shoots out two balls, like a pneumatic jet. And, I've heard that this special wheel has, several different patents on it.
So the balls are going, obviously, in the same direction.
Yes.
And they're spinning at the same time in the same track.
Yes, and I think the reason they did it with a machine is they didn't want the two balls to hit each other. I think that when one ball has gone 180 degrees around the wheel, then it shoots out the next one.
Huh.
And what I kept asking was, what is the probability that the second ball lands wherever the first ball lands? Is it still 1 in 38? Is it more?
Can't be.
Or is it less?
It has to be less.
Well, they argued that the first ball, in some cases, acts like kind of a wall, and if the second ball, comes and kind of would normally bounce over that square or slot, it might be in the way and stop it right there.
But stop it and bounce it back to the one preceding it, not the same one.
Yes, but they argue that offsetting that is the fact that the first ball is hogging up space.
Yes.
And they say that they did a simulation of 15,000 actual spins, and they claim that the probability of the second ball landing and wherever the first ball did is 1 in 38. So something I find interesting.
So they can both land in the same pocket.
Yes, yes. It's pretty much just like a regular roulette wheel with regular-sized balls, but they're shot out with a machine.
And the pockets must be a little bit larger to be able to accommodate both balls to fit.
Probably maybe the balls are a little bit smaller, but it looked like a standard wheel. Maybe they made the balls smaller. But yeah, both balls can fit.
And they said this was going in the Tropicana?
Yes.
Did they say when?
They
Not
told
that
me-
I'm really interested in roulette or anything.
They said sometime in October.
Huh.
So another game that the same company had is High Hand Blackjack, which plays like regular blackjack, but there's also a side bet that is like a tournament between the players, and whatever player gets the best blackjack hand gets this pool minus 5%. And that also alerted me to the possibility that selfish players might only make this bet when they're the last ones to act. And they claim this game has already been in the Palms and the Golden Nugget and must have escaped my attention. But have you seen it?
I have not been checking out the table games at the Palms.
Mm-hmm.
I generally go straight to the Ultimate X machines, sit down, and make a deposit.
They sometimes have interesting table games at the Palms, like that 7-14-21.
But you're saying it sounds like a basic strategy move is to only make this bet if you're sitting at third base. It would not seem to be, I wouldn't call that devious. I would call that an intelligent play.
Oh, I agree. I said selfish players, but what advantage player isn't selfish? And the turn to act last rotates around the table, much like in poker.
So it isn't sitting at third base.
Yeah, there's a dealer puck that moves around the table.
But if one player there consistently only bet when he was in the third base position, other players would pick up on it and says, well, if he's not going to bet with me,
well,
I'm not going to bet with
not
him.
Not if they're drunken frat boys at the Palms. I mean, this might be a good play.
Yep.
Although 5%, you're giving up a lot.
Yeah, and plus you can't I think that this community pot thing, it's just a small wager, so I don't see a big advantage play there. Okay, the same company also had a Baccarat variant, which was basically regular Baccarat with throwing some new side bets on it.
Just what we need. Well, but this is your career of analyzing side bets at Baccarat. This is what made you rich and famous. Is that right?
That might be part of it. I would like to say that my site is the one to go to if you want the math on any side bet. They tend to be easy to mathematically to evaluate. So between blackjack and Baccarat and various poker games, I've just analyzed hundreds of different side bets.
Yeah, but then you have Elliot Jacobson who will, scare the casinos because the side bet might be worth $9 an hour. So,
yes. Okay, let's talk about some Shuffle Entertainment games, which is the new name of Shuffle Master. Okay, one of them is called Straight Edge, and this to me seemed kind of like a knockoff of a game that they... called High Card Flush, that has been at the that has been at Harrah's and Laughlin, and it's basically both player and dealer get the player gets seven cards and the dealer gets eight, and the one that can form the longer straight wins, and if they're both of equal length, then you look at the high card, and the dealer gets one extra card, but the player has a chance to raise. Something like that. Commission-free versions of Baccarat and Paigao Poker are both very hot, and it seems like every company is trying to get into that fray. There was a successful game by DEQ called Easy Paigao, which was Paigao Poker without the commission, and Shuffle Master has a very similar version of that, which can be found at the Golden Nugget right now, by the way. And I'm going to be releasing a page on that probably tomorrow.
While we're at Shuffle Master, last year at Shuffle Master booth, there was a game called Mulligan Poker. You know something about that?
Yes. Unfortunately, that wasn't there this year. That was a game I invented. It's a variation of three-card poker, and it's called Mulligan Poker because if you don't like your hand, you can take a mulligan and get a new hand if you double your bet. And that... After the show, a casino in Calgary took that, and it did okay there. The casino kept it for 4 or 5 months, but then they decided that it wasn't pulling in enough money and took it out. And then Shuffle Master placed it at a casino called the Sack and Fox in Kansas, and it replaced an ordinary three-card poker table. And from what I hear, the players there... got angry that three-card poker was missing, and they did not accept my game as a appropriate substitution. So the casino acquiesced to what the players wanted and threw my game out and put three-card poker back. And after this, Shuffle Master said, two strikes and you're out, Mike, and reverted the rights back to me. So if any casinos out there are interested, please let me know.
They can't count to three?
No, in this business, two. Sometimes you only get one strike. So, that's the story of that game.
That's too bad. I was rooting for you.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Okay, what else was there out there? They had a game called Double Draw Poker. What was the thrust of that one? The player just tries to get the best five card hand that he can, and he gets two chances to make a discard. And of course, he has to increase his bets to do that. And at the end, your final hand is adjudicated according to a pay table there on the table. Seemed like a pretty simple, fun game. Free bet blackjack they had, which can also be found at three or four casinos around Vegas now.
Is that Jeff Hall's game? Yep. That he came on this show a year or so ago to talk about it?
Yep. He talked about that game, and that game is doing well. So go, Jeff.
Somebody sent me a picture of Ultimate 7-Card Stud. You were talking about them ripping off successful games, in this case, Ultimate Texas Hold'em.
Yes.
Did you see this particular game?
I did. I try to be friends with everyone, so I'm not going to use the expression rip off. But, yeah, that was a game that Galaxy has. And, yeah, that's the same as Ultimate Texas Hold'em. Instead, after you see your hole cards, in Ultimate Texas Hold'em, you can make a raise of four times your ante. In this game, you can only raise three times your ante. But if you have a premium hand that loses, it still wins and pays even more according to a bad beat pay schedule. So
it's seven card stun. Does that mean you and the dealer have three down cards and there are four what we would call the flop, or how does that work?
Yeah, it the same as Texas Hold'em, where the player and the dealer each get two hole cards and five community cards.
Oh.
And the house advantage in that game comes from the blind bet. That's Shuffle Master tends to like to get their house advantage by mandating a bad bet, which in this case is the blind bet. And Galaxy calls it the mandated bad bet, something else. But
they don't call it mandated bad bet.
No, no, that's what I call it. So, and also, in all fairness, I don't understand all the legality of it, but I think Galaxy claims that Ultimate Texas Hold'em is really their game, and they marketed Shuffle Master to promote it, but I don't know all the details of that. But I think their argument is, we're welcome to rip off our own game. Okay, what else did they have? They had a three-card poker variant. Not mine, but this one is called Three-Card Poker Exposed. And in this game, the dealer turns over his three cards, so you know exactly what you're playing against. However, the player only has to make a decision based on only seeing two of his three cards. The player has to make a fold or make a 2x raise. After that decision is made, the community card is turned over. And this game also mandates a sucker bet. And then both the ante and the blind bets are adjudicated according to the pay table on the table.
At the gaming show, Shuffle Master always has very pretty young ladies dealing these new games.
And, absolutely.
And so having the word exposed when you're having this chesty new young lady in the game has to be a good selling point.
That's probably why I subconsciously use that word, because I just came from their booth today and of course lingered around probably longer than I needed to because of the lovely models.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I don't know where they find them, but they have a very good pool of them.
I'm going to sneak in and talk about some more video poker games.
Okay.
And then if we have time, I'll let you pick the highlights of what you haven't already talked about.
All right.
Also at IGT, but not videopoker.com, there's a suite of games called GameStar. In GameStar, there are seven brand new games. You have heard of none of them. But apparently IGT didn't know which of these games was going to be best, that the games did not justify a standalone box, but they figured a group of seven of them, maybe some of them would be good. I like three or four of them. One is called Look Ahead Poker, where you pay seven coins or dealt five cards, plus you see the first card you're going to get on the draw. So, for example, if you're dealt ace, king, queen, jack of hearts, and a seven of spades, In normal video poker, you throw away the seven, say a prayer, and go for the royal. But if you see that the next card you're going to get is an ace, you don't fall for the four of the royal trap. You just hold the original ace, start with a pair of aces, and say a different kind of prayer. Now, there's an old Sigma game called Sneak Peek, which had the same general idea. Sigma is now history, but either I don't know if IGT bought their patents or maybe they've all expired by now. But it is similar to the old Sneak Peek game. They have a super look ahead where now you pay 8 coins. You're still dealt 5 cards. You see the 6th card, except you have a choice of whether or not to keep that 6th card or not. So in the example of the 4-card royal, in the super look-ahead version, you would keep the 4-card royals, throw away the first card, which isn't going to help you, and now you have a 1 in 46 chance of connecting on your royal. So the correct strategy appeared fairly obvious to me. Maybe I'm fooling myself, but it was interesting. Another game that was interesting was called Dual Action. Now that is you're going to play one hand against two different games. One of the games is always a Deuces Wild variation, and one of the games is a game based on Jacks or Better. Could be Double Double Bonus, for example. The strategy you use has to be some sort of a compromise between the two games. Now, for example, if you were dealt Deuce-Deuce and a suited Ace-King-Queen, in Deuces Wild, you keep all 5 cards. That's a wild royal, and it pays a bunch. In Double Double Bonus, you throw the deuces away, keep the 3-card royal. Now, in this game, wild royals pay enough, you're probably going to keep all 5 cards and just get 0 on the Double Double Bonus hand because that's not a paying combination. It was interesting. I don't think you can work out the strategy using existing software, but it is interesting. Two other interesting games in IGT area. One is called Flex Exchange and one's called Split Card Deluxe. I've decided both are too complicated to talk about on the radio. So if they catch on, I'll probably write about them. I suspect Shaq will too. Games are more easily understood if you can use pictures in the explanation. One interesting thing I saw that wasn't a game is a new product called Reward View. There's been some chatter on it on the VP Free website, mostly skeptical, but I've been looking into it. I met the originator and some of the people there, and I think it has the potential to be a useful free service to players. The way it works is you tell Reward View your player card numbers and passwords. They aggregate your offers and present them back to you in easy-to-read formats, making sure you're aware of all the offers you're entitled and the ones that are about to expire. There are a lot of websites, casino websites out there that are cumbersome to navigate. They do this all for you. The site promises player confidentiality and keeps you informed of which offers are going to expire and provides tips on maximizing your benefits. I'm going to be signing up for this service at rewardview.com and seeing what happens. I'll keep you in touch. I think it's going to be a useful product. At WMS, they offered the same MyPoker options that they did last year, except now it potentially will be appearing all over the country. Last year, the station casinos had a monopoly in the locals Las Vegas market, and Harrah's, which is now Caesars, had a national monopoly. Those monopolies have expired, and so the games are good everywhere. My Poker allows you to make choices individual to you, whether you want the cards large or small, 2 colors or 4. Most of the options are worthless, in my opinion, but sorting them from high to low is useful in terms of finding straights, and possibly using a 4-color deck if you ever get your clubs confused with your spades. The other features aren't worth much. They have a new game in it called Free Hands Poker. Here you pay 7 coins instead of 5 and periodically get free hands with a 2x multiplier. Occasionally up to 100 free hands. This would be an excellent time for your card to fall out, as we were talking about earlier. Also, even though the game at 7 coins probably pays 0.2% more than the game at 5 coins, you don't receive slot club benefits on those free games. So it is actually possible for the 5 coin bet at 0.2% lower to be a better bet overall than the 7 coin bet, simply because with the 5 coins you get credit for all your bets made, and at 7 coins you don't. All right, Michael, we got about give me a new game, and also we want to save time to talk about what's new at the various Wizard websites in any order.
Okay. One game that I saw at the John Huxley booth is called Lucky Draw Baccarat. It was one of my favorite of the show, I think because it's similar to my Mulligan poker game, but based on Baccarat. In this game, rather than choosing banker or player, you try to beat the dealer as you do in blackjack. If you don't, after your first two cards and seeing one of the dealer's cards, if you your choices are to stand pat, or you can draw a third card by doubling your bet. So the same kind of twist that that my game had. There's no commission, and the dealer has a fixed strategy of hitting on four or less. So, and then if we have time, there were some other Galaxy games. There's a lot of new stuff on my websites since I was last on the show. The last thing I published was a blog entry about my recent trip to Palm Springs. I went to most of the casinos there and wrote all about what I found on the gaming scene. I also recently went to a place in Long Beach that has a form of gambling that is a hybrid of bingo and pinball. And I explain all about how that works on my website. It was a kind of a very interesting and fun little place. Not any kind of advantage play at all most of the time, but I enjoyed that. I analyzed a couple of new Keno variants called Thunder Power and Golden Hits. I wrote all about my rafting trip in August through the Grand Canyon. There is a game out there called Player's Choice 21, which is currently on field trial at the Palazzo, blackjack variant. I wrote an analysis of that. And I saw a couple video poker games at the Peppermill called Moving On Up and Match Card, which I wrote about. And I spent quite a bit of time analyzing 100% loss rebates thanks to the Revel. And I wrote very lengthy pages about how to target those both in reeled slots and video poker.
You think the 100% rebates are some other casino is going to try them? I don't think
not if they haven't heard of about the Revel's experience.
I don't think the Revel is happy with their experience there.
I doubt it. Wasn't there somebody else? Yeah, it was the Riviera. Did they do 50%? Remember their deal?
Different casinos have tried various numbers.
Yeah,
and even the Palms currently has one for brand new members.
Mm-hmm.
And so any loss rebate can be an opportunity for an advantage player.
Absolutely. They're some of the best opportunities.
All right. Now, South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. That's more than anybody else. September, there's swipe and win events Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, which is going to be one more day this month because Monday is September 30th. Play 200 points. Swipe and earn prizes ranging from 2,500 points up to $50. Free play. My hope next Monday is I get double points. That's the biggest prize. They have hot seats on Sunday from noon to 9 p.m. where $500 is rewarded every 15 minutes. The free video poker class this Tuesday at noon in the showroom is 9-6 double-double bonus Ultimate X 10 play. This is a 99.86% game. I'll be teaching to get 99.86, you need to change your strategy based on the level of multipliers existing. I'll be teaching a single strategy, which cuts the return to 99.81, but is far, 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 far simpler than using about 15 different strategies to to get the maximum amount. Still, with a .30 slot club, this game is positive 24/7. It also has a very, very, very high variance. At the South Point, the game is found for quarters, which requires a $25 bet. The same game is found at the Palms, can be played up to for dollars, which is up to $100 per bet. That is my game of choice at the Palms. It is very, very volatile. Speaking of the Palms, this weekend is the last one of their 102,000 great gridiron giveaways. Top prize Friday and Saturday is up to $8,000. If you earn tickets all week long, if you're picked first, you try to throw a football through a 16-inch hole that is either, and you can throw it from 10 feet away, 15 feet away, or 30 feet away. Almost 2 weeks ago, I got to throw first. I was wide left. I do have a lot of tickets in the barrel for this weekend's drawing. Thinking about my strategy, probably now person second, third, fourth, and fifth get 15% of whatever I make. Probably if I, it's a long shot to be called first, but if it happens, my first two misses, I will miss by a mile because you get to practice as much as you want. I always like to give my rooting sections a slight heart attack. But it's not likely to happen, but it does sound like fun. The PEW, Play, Earn, and Win drawings through the end of the month are called Pack Your Bags, where the prizes are suitcases and other travel paraphernalia. Tuesday and Thursday, which goes today for another 2 hours and 10 minutes if you're listening live, you can earn Rebel gas cards for and keep your points. It adds another 0.225%. At videopoker.com, the monthly contest that's going on right now is called Multi-Streak. We spoke about Multi-Streak earlier in the context of card pulling. If you haven't played it, this is a good place. You can play the games for free on videopoker.com. And they also have card levels. If you play at the gold card level, which is $79.95 a year, you get red light, green light corrections on several games that you can't get that correction on anywhere else, like quick quads, for example. If you want to practice quick quads and be told when you make the wrong mistake, you can get it on that software. Also, the gold membership does away with the pop-up ads. If you attend any of my classes this semester at the South Point, you get a one-month free gold membership at videopoker.com just for coming to the class. This is a once-per-person-per-lifetime coupon, so you don't get 10 months free by coming to all 10 classes, but I'd like you to come to all 10 classes anyway. All right, Michael, we have a bit of time left. Do you have any other games that you'd like to share with us?
Yeah, since this is supposed to be a show about advantage play, I thought I would talk about a couple potential advantage play opportunities on these new games. One of them is a game called Baccarat Insurance. This is like regular Baccarat, but they throw some side bets on it, and one of them is called the Monkey Bet.
Yes,
and if either the player or the banker is required to draw a third card, before they do this, you can place this bet, and it pays 3-2 if that third card is any 10-point card, or 0-point card, I should say, in Baccarat. So that normally would have a house advantage of about 7.5%, but it would be highly countable just doing a 10-non-10 count. And plus, in Baccarat, they deal practically to the end of the shoe. So that's just about the most countable bet I've ever seen. And by the way, they call it a monkey.
What is that bet called?
The monkey bet. And they call it the monkey bet because in Baccarat, Asian players, if they want to see a 0-point card, they call it a monkey for some reason. I don't know why. And they will often slap the table and yell, monkey. So
I've seen them do it in blackjack as well when they want the dealer to bust.
Yeah. Yeah.
And is this bet being offered anywhere yet, Mike?
No, this is a new game, and it's called Baccarat Insurance. So if you see it out there, You know,
if you see it out there, email gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com and
attention
let us know.
Message.
Or you can email me personally.
Okay, another one is a Shuffle Master game called Ultimate Seven Card Stud. And this is another Texas Hold'em variant where the player has to keep making raise bets as he goes in order to get more cards. He starts with three and has the opportunity to make a raise bet or check to get his next cards, and then he gets two more, and then there's another raise or check opportunity, and finally there's a raise or fold opportunity. So the advantage play I envision here is collusion. With each player, with a full table with each hand having up to seven cards depending upon the decision point, you know, if I say need aces and I don't see anyone else holding aces, it's going to affect, you know, how big of a raise I make. So
now, so the dealer, I thought this was the game I was asking you about earlier. So does the dealer also have seven cards?
Yes. Yes, you have to beat the dealer in this game.
Okay.
So it's kind of like Mississippi Stud.
So it starts out, they deal each of the players three and give the dealer seven at that point?
I don't remember exactly when they deal the dealers. Yeah, the dealer gets seven independent cards. So maybe Texas Hold'em was a bad comparison. And with any new game, I would ask the question, is this vulnerable to collusion?
And if it appears in the San Diego area, you can bet Stephen Howe is going to write about it.
Well, and if no matter what, you can bet that Elliot's going to write about it.
By the way, I just saw Stephen today, and he says he sometimes sees things that are just too good to write about. Just because he doesn't write about it doesn't mean it can't be found somewhere in San Diego.
So he's learned.
let's see. Let's see what else.
Elliot's never found such a game, huh?
Yes, good old Elliot. I saw him at the show, too.
Yes.
Okay, there's Galaxy. Let's go back to Galaxy.
We got about 1 minute.
Okay. Heads up, Hold'em. We already talked about that. Okay, the Spanish 21 patent is expiring or has expired, so they have a new version of Spanish 21 called Player's Edge, which is basically the same thing, but they add four new side bets. So, yes, these gaming companies just love side bets.
Well, this is good for your career, Michael. It gives you something to kill your free time and don't have to spend time with your kids.
Yes, love those side bets.
So did you see any that were countable or beatable? Or?
Well, so certainly that monkey one was. That's the only one I've given much thought to so far. But with the remaining time left, one thing I'm personally doing is I'm doing a study of parlay and teaser cards. And a lot of places have what's called a half-point parlay card. And I think these are highly beatable. I see advantages of over 30%, but the downside is there's only so many opportunities, and it's hard to get money down. And it's
thank you, Michael. Thank you, Munchkin. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Gambling with an Edge with your hosts, Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin. Subscribe to the show in iTunes, and episodes will be delivered to you automatically every week. Archived versions of past shows may be found at bobdancer.com and richardmunchkin.com. We welcome emails at gamblingwithanedge@gmail.com. Bob Dancer and Richard Munchkin are both available on Facebook and welcome your questions. The sponsors for the show are the South Point Hotel, Casino, and Spa, the M Resort, the Palms Casino Resort, and the website videopoker.com. Join us again next week for another Gambling with an Edge.